Hello and welcome to Say That, the podcast where your big questions get real answers. My name is Matt King. I'm your host here in the city of Chicago. And I'm joined by, well, no one currently at the time. We will be taking a couple of week break as Lee prepares Holy Week services down there at Christ Community. Jed is doing some traveling for Good Loud Media, the nonprofit he runs. And I'm just a very lazy person. So with that, we are going to bring you this Easter special. We hope you enjoy the holiday weekend. We hope that this collection of songs and meditation is an encouragement to you. And we will see you back with our normal format here in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. It comes a little early in the episode this time. Just remember, we love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. Was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
has no sorrow, but heaven can
the surprising things about the description of Easter in the Bible is that there's not that much of it. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark both cover the resurrection, then the 40 days after, ending with the Great Commission and Ascension of Jesus, in a single chapter, both of them only 20 verses long. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians about how Jesus appeared to 500 people at once, but we don't get any more to that story. John and Luke have a few more details of what happened in that period between Jesus rising from the tomb and ascending to heaven, but not many. That makes the stories that are in the scriptures all the more interesting. They're the famous moments we all know, Jesus offering to let Thomas put his hands in his wounds, Jesus reinstating Peter with three questions and instructions, one for each of Peter's denials on the night of Jesus' trial. But there are a couple of other stories in there that lack the drama of the famous ones. There are no huge lines like, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Or the emotional gravitas of asking, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" These other stories revolve mostly around talking and eating. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. They did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other,
Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Here we have the risen Christ, having conquered death itself, walking along the road with two people who still didn't entirely get what had happened, and explaining the scriptures to them. Compared to the big moments like the sky going black in the afternoon, the temple curtain ripping when Jesus gave up his spirit, and the stone being rolled away, it lacks a certain drama. To be honest, it feels a little anticlimactic. The kind of thing that a book editor or a movie producer would tell a writer to scrap because it slows down the whole story. Between the final epic battle and the big victory speech, you have a dinner scene with two minor characters who are not named before or since. But this is how Jesus spent the better part of one of those 40 days. Walking with two scared, confused, dejected people, and talking with them over the 7-mile walk to a village, then stopping for dinner. One might expect the Son of God, who had defeated death and sin, to have more important things to do than explain the whole story, from the beginning, again, to people who should have seen enough to put it together for themselves. The risen Jesus, though, turns out to be just as patient, loving, and human as he was before he was crucified. He still had time for people, still cared about them, still shared time and meals with them. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The chapter heading to this story in the New International Version is Jesus and the Miraculous Catch of Fish. As far as miracles go, catching a lot of fish is not exactly a showstopper, especially when it's the follow-up to rising from the dead. I wonder if the disciples expected something a little more big time. The last time Peter had recognized Jesus in the distance and jumped out of a boat, he had walked on top of the water for a while. All the disciples had seen Jesus turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough food for thousands of people. It doesn't seem entirely necessary to haul in 153 fish to make breakfast for 8 guys. The reinstatement of Peter happens immediately after this in John's Gospel. But it's interesting that the scriptures don't just jump right to that big scene. We get this setup of the disciples going back to what they had done before they met Jesus. Fishing. Maybe because they were at a loss for anything else to do. And we see this intimate little moment of friends sharing breakfast on a beach after having all been through a really rough few days. I love these little stories because they remind me of something very important about the resurrection. Even though Easter is a capital B, capital D, big deal, with people getting dressed up and churches going all out, and the huge weight and emotion of the stories of Jesus' death on a cross for our sins, and defeat of death that we too may have eternal life, the risen Jesus is not just there for big moments. Jesus is not a wizard from a fantasy story who says, "When you most need me, in your darkest moment, I will be there." Jesus is also there when we're walking along, confused and dejected. When we're wondering if we can keep going or should just fall back into old ways. Or even when we're just sitting down and eating. As Christians, the resurrection is a fact of our everyday lives. There's no situation too small, too simple, repeated too often, that Jesus, with the very power that conquered death and the grave, isn't right there beside us in it.
Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to